At an ecumenical gathering of religious leaders, someone shouted, "The building's on fire." The Methodist got in the corner and prayed. The Baptist yelled, "Where's the water?" While the Quakers quietly praised God for the blessing that fire brings. The Lutherans posted a notice on the door declaring fire to be evil, while the Catholics took pledges to cover their expenses. The Christian Scientists agreed among themselves that there was really no fire at all, while the Pentecostals praised God and shouted, "Holy smoke." The Presbyterians appointed a committee to look into the matter and to make a written report at the next session, while the Presbyterians formed a procession and marched out of the building in order of course. On this first Sunday of October, Christians around the world will bow, and elaborate cathedrals or open-air meetings to receive the sacrament of Holy Communion. We call it Worldwide Communion Sunday. It is an invitation for people of all classes and colors, all backgrounds and beliefs, all traditions and testimonies to join hands and hearts and love and loyalty to Jesus Christ. Welcome. Welcome to the table. Welcome to this table of diversity. As the disciples went about doing good, they ran into other people who were doing good as well. "Teacher," said John, "we saw this man driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop it because he didn't graduate from our seminary." Well, something close to that. "Because he was not one of us." And Jesus said, "Do not stop him. Whoever's not against us is for us. And anyone who gives a cup of cold water in my name will certainly be rewarded." With words like "whoever" and "anyone," Jesus opens the door of cooperation wide for the good of hurting humanity. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad he did. We live in an interesting period of history, it seems to me. We live in a period of history where people love to find corners, love to find birds of similar feather and there to stick together. And in the midst of getting in our corners, we love to demonize the opposition and spend our time casting barbs at those who are not like us. We do it in lighthearted manners with things like sports. I've been here 1 week, and people have already asked me, "Did you bleed red or blue when you were in Kentucky? Were you a Cardinal fan or a Kentucky fan when you were in Kentucky?" And they immediately then ask the second question, "Are you for Vanderbilt or UT here in Tennessee?" You know, inquiring fans want to know where you're going to land when you come to a new place. When we get to church, we sometimes get mean-spirited about it. "Are you conservative or liberal, good news or gay rights, part of a confessing movement or the reconciling movement?" Or at General Conference last May, we love to toss it around. "Are you a connectionalist or a localist?" While Jesus says, "Whoever's not against us is for us," we like to say, "Whoever's not for us must surely be against us." Wesley, in his sermon on the Catholic spirit, appealed to a different kind of attitude. Listen to some of his words. "Though we can all think alike, may we not all love alike. May we not be of one heart, even though we cannot be of one opinion. I believe infants ought to be baptized by dipping and sprinkling. If you are persuaded otherwise, then follow your persuasion. I believe in the episcopal form of church government, but if you think independent is better, then act accordingly. If your heart is with my heart in love and loyalty to Jesus Christ, then take my hand, love me patiently, pray for me continually, join me in good works." An important message for our day. You see, before I joined the church, I'd ask to know who's really welcome at the table. Are women full partners in ministry? Are children valued as whole persons? Are other religions respected and baptisms of other denominations accepted? Before I joined a church, I'd ask to know, is there a spirit of inclusion or exclusion in the place, competition or cooperation, respect or ridicule, diversity or division? Before I joined the church, I'd want to know, how open are the doors that says, come to the table. Welcome. Welcome to a table of diversity. Welcome to a table. Welcome to a table of deep distinction. Let us never forget at whose table we gather. If this were an ordinary meal, you could get more food at a backyard barbecue. You could probably get more excitement at a football game. You may even get more fellowship at the neighborhood bar, but this is no ordinary table at which we gather today. We come to participate in the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, to affirm the cross, to claim redemption, to be one in Christ who has the power to make us one with one another. Christ does not become fragmented in us. Rather, we become unified in Him. We don't reduce Christ to what we are. He raises us to what He is. Colossians 1:17 puts it this way, in Him we hold together. I love that phrase. Another translation says, in Him we cohere. In Him there is a coming together. There is a oneness that is beyond our divisions. You see, tolerance is not believing what you want, doing what you wish, asking as you will, acting as you will. Tolerance has a different spirit than that. Tolerance is being so certain of the power of Christ that you feel no need to control His enemies. Tolerance is being so free of selfish desires that you can sacrifice, you can sacrifice an arm and a leg if you have to, and even an eye, says the text, for the good of the whole, so that not one little one should be lost. Wesley put it this way, don't call yourself of the Catholic spirit because you have muddy understanding and cannot make up your mind. Be as fixed as the sun concerning Christian devotion, not halting between opinions, endeavoring to blend everything into one. Tolerance is not indifference. You know, believe what you want. We all head in the same place anyway. That's laziness. That's not theology. You see, the email's been floating around, it's been going on for the last year or so, about how many church members it takes to change a light bulb. Goes something like this, how many Baptists does it take to change a light bulb? The response of which, who said anything about change? How many Catholics does it take to change a light bulb? Well, none, they use candles. How many TV evangelists does it take to change a light bulb? Well, one, but for the light to continue to come your way, you must send your donation today. How many Methodists does it take to change a light bulb? The following resolution was narrowly approved by General Conference. We choose not to make a statement either in favor of nor against the need for a light bulb. However, if in your own journey you have found that a light bulb works for you, that's fine. You're invited to write a poem or compose a modern dance about your personal relationship with your light bulb and present it next month at our annual Light Bulb Sunday service. in which we will explore a number of light bulb traditions, including incandescent, fluorescent, three-way, long life, and tinted, all of which are equally valid paths of luminescence. And in the midst of all of this, Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth." Now, salt is distinctive. Taste the stuff. Before I ever knew it was in the Bible, I knew that phrase that says, "You ought to be worth your salt." My daddy used to say, salt for the ancient world was a precious commodity used to purify the sacrifices of worship, used to seal the covenants between people and between nations. "So there is salt between us," came the saying. Used most of all to preserve the food supply. Go to Jerusalem today, walk in streets, you still get slapped by legs of lamb, chickens here and there that are going to hit you as you walk the narrow streets. So salt is neither sensational nor spectacular, but it is special and powerful and distinctly important. It is a condiment that we expect to be there sitting on the table or packaged for the carry out. But where would we be if we eat our food and suddenly don't have any of it? What's more, it'll make you thirst for something else. Salt. You are the salt of the earth. And sociologist Robert Bella says, "Never underestimate the significance of a small group of people who have a vision for a just and gentle world. Never underestimate the power of a small group of people." Then he goes on to say, "The quality of culture may be changed when 2%, get the number, when 2% of its people have a new vision. You are the salt of the earth." And if the salt has lost its saltiness, wherewithal shall the earth be salted? One bread, one body, one Lord of all. One cup of blessing which we bless. And we, though many throughout the world, we are one body in this one Lord. Let it be, Lord. Let it be. Amen.